Welcome, everyone, to the Woken English Podcast. This is your host, Gabriel Aguero. I'm joined by Facundo Salazar from Miami. Facu, how's everything, my friend?
Hey, Gabby, how are you? I'm doing good. Hope everybody's doing fantastic.
I'm doing excellent. I just want to clear something because I know some of our listeners are probably wondering. Fran hasn't joined us for a couple of weeks. He has some family things that he's currently situating right now. So he's obviously still part of the podcast, but you know, we're giving him this free time to go ahead and situate what he has to situate. So we wish Fran the best. We wish we had him, but it's just Facu and I for now. But that's always a good thing still.
Which is so bad, I hope.
Yeah, no, it's not. At least we haven't gotten any complaints. So we want, I haven't had any complaints saying we want Fran, I don't like you two anymore. So I think we're good. So Facu, we're gonna recap the win, a very early game on Sunday. For those of you who enjoyed the early kickoff, I hope you did because you will probably never see that again. That was the if I remember correctly, it was the first time Boca played at that time since the 1970 World Cup in Mexico, where Boca played against River, a Super Clásico. I think Boca won 1-0, something along those lines. That was the last time Boca played at 9 a.m. or 10 a.m., excuse me, local time in Argentina. So if you enjoyed it, good. You'll probably never see it again, though. So we're going to go ahead and recap that game against Lanús. And then we're going to recap yesterday's 1-0 loss to Barcelona and Ecuador, a little bit of an irritating loss, but we're going to get into depth on that game. But anyways, Facu, let's go with Lanús first. I'll go ahead and read the lineup. We had Rossi in goal, Capaldo, López, Izquierdos, and Fabra. In midfield, we had the MVA, I think they're calling it, Medina, Varela, Almendra. Up top, we had Obando, Tevez, and Sebastián Villa. Sebastián Villa, probably the best player on the pitch that day, along with our center back duo of Izquierdos and López. Facu, tell me what you thought about the match against Lanús. I think personally, it was a pretty poor first half from Boca, like it was against Santos, like it was against Huracan, and the strongest as well. But the exception is, I think Russo was able to make some slight adjustments. More notably, Villa was switched from the right flank over to the left flank, made a couple of adjustments, and Boca played a pretty good second half, like the game against Santos, Huracan, and the strongest. Boca came out shaky in the first half and much more improved in the second half. So tell me, Facu, what you thought of that game?
To start off, I think that the formation is one that I like. I mean, the only change I would make is play like Obando, and maybe play Pavon on top, or Ceballos, somebody a little bit faster as well. Because I think that with that formation, it gives Tevez more room to drop back, and then you have the two wings pushing the defenders high. With Tevez coming back all the time for the ball, it's kind of complicated. It's easier for other teams to defend. But with that being said, like you said, the first half, I think the players, both teams, were as sleepy as I was on Sunday morning.
Yeah, right. Especially Fauda.
Correct. I feel like, first of all, you couldn't see anything on the pitch because of the shadow. But then I feel like both teams were super, super slow. I feel like both teams were like probably not in the mood or playing. I mean, they probably woke up at 6 a.m. and get ready to play a game. It's not the best time, to be honest. And nothing really happened in the first half. I really do not remember anything from the first half. I think that both teams gave the ball away a few times. Lanús had a few chances because, you know, Rossi had a mistake and Fabra had a mistake. But that's about it. I don't remember Boca shooting at all, to be honest. So I don't have much to add to first half. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
If you want to help me here, I don't know what to say.
Because I agree.
It was passive.
It was very passive. Both teams were shaky. Tons of missed time passes. But really, like you said, not much going on. Villa wasn't working too well on the right flank. So it was a pretty boring first half, I guess you could add. For the exception of the couple of chances Lanús had, Rossi had an opportunity where the ball slipped from his hand. I don't remember if that was the first half or second half.
That was the first half.
But really, apart from that, not much else. Anything interesting that came from the Lanús point of view was from De La Vega all game. That kid is actually really good on the breakaway, especially when he has the ball. He's pretty dangerous, but not much else going on. And then in the second half, we had tons and tons of opportunities. Again, Villa was switched over on the left side. we had like within the first 5, 10, 15 minutes, we had six concrete scoring opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually watching the game with my girlfriend, and she's starting to learn a lot of football. But one of the things that she says, like, I cannot believe that Boca haven't scored yet. You guys had at least 7 chances. And, you know, from somebody that doesn't watch much football, that she even noticed that. I think the first 20 minutes were solid by Boca. The first half, terrible. The second half, much better, with Bish on the left and then Pavon coming in on the right. I think that's where our business has to focus. Like I said, it's very hard for us to attack when, you know, you have your only striker dropping back and dragging their team's defenders forward and, mm-hmm. you know, making the pitch a little bit closer. But I think that's where Boca should focus with Pavon and Villa. I think that Obando had another 70 minutes of nothing. You know, I wish Russo gives Ceballos a little more time. You know, Ceballos had a fantastic game the other day with the youth division. So we all watch it, and he was outstanding. So, you know, maybe even though we like Obando and he could be a good sub, I don't know if he's ready to start yet. I mean, he haven't showed anything. So maybe we had to see how we can fix that with Pavon, with Ceballos, something like that. But overall, good win, I think. We went from minus to plus, if you want to call it that way. You know, we fixed that in the second half, which is great. You know, going to halftime, you're like, what the hell is happening? And then coming back and having 7 chances in 10 minutes. That's a good reaction that I want to see from our team. You know, and now I win 2 in a row, 3 in a row for the local league, and we're on to the next round.
Yeah, I think that sums it up pretty well. The win against Lanús, who was a key opponent in the race for the top 4, put us into the playoffs, into the quarterfinals. Everything is still being played. There's one match day left to determine who our rival is. They just pretty much secured the top spot, first place with 28 points, Boca in second with 22 points, Talleres in third with 20 points, Unión in fourth with 18, Independiente and Lanús with a slight chance, but Independiente has a much better chance to earn fifth with 17 points. If I'm not mistaken, Talleres did, they drew against Huracán, which is a pretty positive result for us. For the most part, Boca will get second or third place. We still have to figure that out. If we tie, we get second.
Yeah, because then, we have like 10 more goals on Talleres. So if Talleres wins and we tie, we're second.
Lanús plays today. Talleres plays today in the Copa Sudamericana, and then on Sunday in the afternoon. I don't know why Boca and Talleres aren't playing at the same time, actually.
I think that because Boca is already qualified. Boca plays on Saturday, which is weird. But yeah. I think they put in all the games, you know, because Talleres, Unión, and Independiente are playing at the same time. Those are the three teams that are looking for that third and fourth spot. I think that they already know that Boca is on to the next round, so they don't really care about us.
Yeah, so Talleres, who's in third place anyways, they have a really difficult game away to Lanús. Lanús with a slight possibility of still making it into the top 4. They would have to beat Talleres and hope Unión does not win. Unión plays against Colón, I think, the Clásico de Santa Fe, right?
Correct.
So that's how things stand at the moment. Boca could either get second or third place. With a tie, like Facundo said, we pretty much guaranteed second place, even if Talleres wins, because then we'll be leveled on points, but the goal difference is significantly higher for Boca. We have a goal difference of 11, positive 11. Talleres has a goal difference of positive 4 goals. Unless they defeat Lanús by 6, 7, 8 goals, and they're not getting second place. So that's that, Facu, for the local league. Anything else you want to add?
No, it looks like we, as of today, we're playing San Lorenzo in the next round. But okay. Again, the other zone, it's so tight that anything can happen. We can play O Estudiantes, or San Lorenzo, River Central, Racing. It could be whatever.
I would love to play San Lorenzo.
Yeah, we're probably going to play or San Lorenzo, or River, or Racing Central.
Or Racing, too, with 18 points.
Yeah.
All three, fourth through sixth, are tied in 18 points.
Correct, yeah. So it's going to be between those four teams.
And River has the positive 11 goal difference.
Correct. So it's probably going to be, I think it's probably going to be River, to be honest.
You think we're going to play River?
Yeah, because they're probably going to win. The goal difference, I don't think that San Lorenzo is going to beat
San Lorenzo plays Racing.
Yeah. So.
And I think Oscar Romero, who's obviously their best player, has tested positive for COVID.
Right. So he's out.
And they're away?
They're away, yes.
They are away. So they have it difficult. I think River plays against Rosario Central. No, River
plays Aldo Civi, who is in last, or almost last, yeah.
Tied for last, yeah.
Yeah.
So still a lot to play for in Group A. It's a lot more compact than Group B. Group B, we have some pretty good idea of who's going to be going into the next round, except for two places. Group A is a lot more compact. Estudiantes could even grab first place from Colón. They're only down by 2 points. Colón would have to lose, and Estudiantes would have to win. Estudiantes is on a pretty good run of form as well. So things are heating up in the local league. It's looking good. Playoffs are about a week and a half away, so that's exciting. Let's shift focus into the Copa Libertadores, Facu. Yesterday's loss to Barcelona, I think, well, first off, I want to go ahead and say that I think Boca Twitter can be very, very toxic at times. The hysteria,
at times.
The hysteria behind most losses really is unnecessary. I don't believe the hysteria from yesterday was necessary. Now,
it's fantastic. Can I say something?
Go ahead.
I feel like Boca Twitter, forgets that Boca is playing our lives in the next 3 weeks, and they want a new coach for a team that is in second in both tournaments, and they want the new coach to convince the new players to play good in 3 weeks. It's like insane.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like you're saying, it's pretty unrealistic, very toxic at times. But I will say that yesterday's loss is very irritating to see Boca. Let me start off with the lineup first. So we went out with a 4-3-3, Rossi in goal, Bufarini, López, Izquierdos, and Mas. In midfield, Capaldo, Varela, and Jara. And up top, we had an offensive trio of Pavón, Soldano, and Obando. I think the approach to the game, I think this method of speculating to see what can happen against your opponent. Let's try and see if we can go for a draw. Let's see how our opponent comes out and plays. I think that speculation is just pitiful. That's how we have consecutively lost and been eliminated from the Copa Libertadores in the past, I don't know, 5-6 years. We went out and speculated in the semifinals last year against Santos, and they crushed us 3-0. I don't understand why, which I'll go ahead and say right now, this Tuesday against Santos, we better throw everything at them, go at them. But this whole speculation, this whole tactic of speculating and just to see what happens and how the game unfolds is bizarre. Facu, tell me not. Let me hear your thoughts.
My thoughts are that I do not understand what they did. I don't know what Russo did. I was very pissed when the game ended. I even probably said it on the group chat. But then today, with a little bit like cold head, if you look at the lineup, 8 out of 11 are subs, are not starters, because Capaldo played in the middle. Technically, Capaldo now is a defender, so he played out of position. So I don't consider that a starter, if I put it that way. So I don't understand then why they came out with such a random team. But then I look into the calendar, and I was telling Gabby before that, you know, we had like 8 games in a month, 9 games in a month. So my thinking is like, maybe they're tired, you know, going to altitude before in Bolivia and coming back, playing game just after game after game, and then going back again to the altitude. I mean, don't forget, Gabby, that they're traveling. They're probably going through a lot of tests through COVID and all that. That's pretty exhausting. You know, they probably have a lot of things happening in their hotels and all that. Maybe they were tired. I don't know. The only thing I can say is that we gave a game away. We gave away a very important win that would have put us through the next round. I thought they were going to come out with everything. I thought they were going to keep the reserve team for Saturday against Patronato. Then Varela was the only player that was actually performing well. And then he took him out in the middle of the game. I mean,
and everything went downhill from there.
Correct. And that's when I'm like, maybe he was tired. How come a guy that's 19 years old is being subbed off at minute 56? So my only thing is like, they're tired. I mean, I'm overanalyzing everything, but I think we gave away a lot with this game because now we had to go to Brazil. if we don't perform well, something weird happens in Brazil. Now we're back 6 to 6 points with Santos. Yeah, we have 2 games at home. We're probably going to win them. But do I really want to go till the last game with, you know, like we said, Argentina with, you know, our balls in our throat? I think that we gave away a very important game. I heard Jorge Rivolsi talk today. He was an ex-assistant for Boca in 2005. He said that, you know, these games like that in Copa Libertadores happen. That the rotation was good, that I wanted to do that, that Boca always do that, that we deserve a tie. I mean, we had a shot on the post in the last 5 minutes, and then they didn't deserve to win, to be honest.
Not one bit. No, I was not impressed by them.
No, not at all. So I don't want to be over dramatic, but it hurts a little bit. You know, you're like,
it's just irritating.
I want to continue with that. Yeah, I want to continue with that 5 games in a row, no goals against.
Yeah,
it just sucks to lose that way. You know,
but here's my point of view. Yeah, no, it definitely does happen. I understand the rotation, which I'll touch on in a minute. But pretty much, and what did we have? In the first half, the first 15 minutes, Barcelona controlled the ball actually very, very well. Boca were almost pinned back in their own goal at times, but Barcelona weren't able to find those spaces, neither out wide or through the middle, to really create any danger. After those 15, 20 minutes, after that, it was all Boca controlling the game, majority possession, but also not very aggressive in the final third, lacking creativity in the final third. We sent a couple of long balls to Pavon, hoping he could situate it out with an individual play, and that never works out well. Soldano is nowhere to be found. Obando was playing a piss-poor game on the left side. So even though we were controlling in the first half after those initial 15 minutes, we didn't really do much with the ball either. And in the second half, Barcelona came out pretty good, much more intense. Varela was taken out, and then soon after, we concede, and everything goes to shit, excuse my language. But I'll on the rotation right now. Go ahead, Fagu.
You know, Tevez, Maroni, Ceballos came in at minute 78, 79.
And they made an immediate impact.
Yeah. Why didn't that happen in minute 50 when you took Varela out? You know, if you want to make that big of a change in the middle, make all the changes, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's what shocked me a little bit. I feel like if we would have made those 3 changes 10, 15 minutes earlier, we would have won.
Yeah. So I was listening to one of my favorite journalists yesterday, as you already know, Claudio Civiello, and he had an excellent, excellent, excellent point. He said, we won 5 games in a row, and that's not a fluke. That's a result of combining tactically gifted players. That's what happens when you combine players like Varela, Almendra in midfield, Medina, players who receive the ball, take a touch, and give a clean pass. Yesterday, I saw Varela alone in the middle of the park. Capaldo is not tactically, I'll run through it right now. Bufarini, Mas, Capaldo, Jara, Obando, they're not tactically gifted players. They're really not. Especially Jara, you saw him a couple of times yesterday when he would receive the ball. He would trip on the ball. He has no ball control. I can't believe this guy, and I hate to say it, has played for Boca for this long. I really just can't believe it. And Capaldo makes up for it in other ways. He has 3 lungs. He covers so much ground. He's excellent defensively. He finds opportunities in the box as well. He's just all over the pitch. So he makes up for it. So he's excused. But Emmanuel Mas, the amount of balls he gave away yesterday was really unbelievable. Same with Jara. Soldano really shouldn't even say enough about him. So yesterday's result is due to combining tactically poor players. That's what happened. We combined tactically. When you play so many tactically poor players, that's what happened. You want to do a rotation? Okay, fine. Why don't you play Maroni over Jara? And Why don't you play Ceballos over Obando?
I feel like this player never, this team never played together. It looked like they didn't know what to do. I mean, I don't remember last time seeing Capaldo, Varela, and Jara playing together in the middle. Pavon, Soldano, Bando. It's like, what?
You know what the worst thing is? A couple of these guys aren't even going to be in the club past June. Bufarini's gone. I don't think Jara's staying. I don't think Emmanuel Mas is staying.
Yeah, it's done.
Obando might go on loan. Soldano, his loan expires. Why are you playing guys who aren't going to continue after June? Maroni's still going to be there. Ceballos is still going to be there. Why not build up on those performances? Why not build them up? Confidence. Ceballos was excellent when he came in, again, on the right side, unfortunately. But if you're playing Obando on the left, put Ceballos on the left. That's his natural position. Keep Bawon on the right. Barilla had nobody to pass the ball to in the middle of the park that could either give the ball back or pass to a teammate cleanly. Maroni is able to do that. So the impact that Maroni and Tevez and Ceballos had off the bench was immediate, and Maroni almost had the equalizer towards the end. It was unlucky that it hit the post. So this is what makes yesterday's game irritating for most fans. Again, I don't agree with the hysteria. I don't agree with automatically saying, oh, now we're in danger of not qualifying to the next stage. I do think Boca will qualify to the next stage. We have a favorable schedule. We're away to Santos next week in a game where all the starters are most likely going, at least they better play. And I would hope the tactics are a little bit different than yesterday. And then we have two home games against, I think it's the strongest, and then Barcelona.
No, Barcelona first. And this
Barcelona, then the strongest? Okay.
Yes.
Which so is good. Yeah. I agree. So hopefully, you know, it's a lesson. I don't know how many lessons we need, because enough of speculating in games and seeing what can happen, enough of doing that. It never works, and it always fails. Anyways, that's all I have on this game. Facu, I don't know if you wanted to add anything else.
No, I mean, you're correct. I just don't want to be over dramatic. Things like this happen in Libertadores. I think that we learn that these things can happen. I think that Barcelona did not expect to win. I was not expecting Boca
to win. They respected us a lot. Barcelona respected us a lot, and we didn't take advantage of that.
Yeah, which sucks, because Santos won 5-0. Now, if they beat us, they're in second, because they have more goal difference if they beat us, because we would drop, let's say, 1-0, we go +1, and they go +2. So not the best result. But again, Santos is not doing that great either, so hopefully we go to Brazil. Hopefully we win and on to the next round.
I just want to add one more thing. If we go, and this is like the fourth time I say it now, if we continue to speculate against teams just to see what happens against teams like, I'm going to go ahead and say Flamengo. Facu, you know, Flamengo will put 4 or 5 past us. We have seen against teams who sit back, sort of speculate how they play against Flamengo and relax. And Flamengo, from 1 second to the next, are automatically up by 2, 3, 4 goals.
Flamengo has 10 goals in 3 games. Atlético Mineiro has 7 goals in 3 games.
Palmeiras
has like 10 goals in 3 games.
So it goes to show.
Brazilian teams are on fire right now.
Yeah, it goes to show. And again, I'll use this example again. We saw this last year in the semifinals against Santos in the second leg. We went out, we speculated, we sat back, relaxed, see how the game would unfold, and Santos immediately put 2, 3 goals past us.
What did we learn in the podcast today?
Don't speculate.
Do not freaking speculate.
I mean, enough of that. Enough of that. You really have to go at these teams. You just said it yourself. We need a result on Tuesday against Santos, a direct rival. They're in third place. A win would probably put them ahead of us on goal difference and then level in points. They have a little bit of a tougher rest of the schedule than we do, granted. But enough of speculating. We got to go into Brazil and really go at them. And I want to say one more thing about even the game being played in Brazil is absolutely, to me, an atrocity by Conmebol. I'm switching subjects here. I don't think the game should even be played in Brazil. I don't think any game should be played in Brazil. What's going on with COVID in Brazil right now is a horror show. It's very, very dangerous. I would even go as far as saying that Miguel Angel Russo, I don't think, should travel. It's not worth it for a football game to risk your life.
He did get vaccinated, though.
He did get vaccinated. I think he's missing the second one, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. So he's not. I think you get full immunity. It varies on the vaccine. I know here in the U.S., they say 14 days after your second dose, you get complete and full immunity up to, you know, what the vaccine offers. So
yeah, Miguel Caruso, it's weird what Conmebol is doing, dude. I mean, look at River and what other team, Argentinos, that they play the Colombian teams. Colombia is under terrible political issues right now. And like Conmebol is here promoting the Copa America, and Colombia really say, we're not going to have the Copa America here. It's 40 days away and we're like killing each other. Then Argentina is saying, we're not going to have the Copa America. So now they're trying to move the Copa America to Paraguay. River is going to play in Paraguay. Argentina is going to play in Paraguay. It's like, why we can't stop for 20 days till things settle a little bit and restart? I feel like, I know, if I was a player, I would be pissed. I feel like they're using them like entertainment, like a circus. Like they're part of a circus, and I don't like it, to be honest. I know we all want to watch the games and this and that, but dude, you know,
it's this not won't stop until life is lost. I hate to say it, but Konoha won't stop until life is lost. Since Konoha loves to move games over to Paraguay, we should play against Brazilian teams in Paraguay. We really shouldn't be going to Brazil. It's very dangerous. COVID isn't, you know, out of control over there. This is something that's been known for months now, even since last year. They haven't got things under control, and it doesn't look like they will. So,
classic Comebol.
Yeah. So that's that. Anything else, Faku, that you want to touch on? This was a quick one. I think we're at about 26 minutes, 27 minutes, something like that.
I'm okay with the games. I don't know if you want to touch a little bit of Andrade's situation. Boca just came out with an official paper or official news about it. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, everybody knows on the podcast, you know, Andrade was, you know, got positive for COVID when he arrived to Ecuador. So the club just came out with a statement saying that everybody, the whole team came back to Argentina besides Andrade. I'm reading here on my computer, it's in Spanish, so I'm trying to translate in my head, saying that, you know, they did everything that Conmebol told them to do. They took a PCR test on Friday before Lanús, it came back negative, and they took another one on Sunday after the game.
The Sunday one is a Conmebol test.
Correct. Once they arrived to Ecuador, Andrade was positive, which we knew because he got playing in a month because he was kept isolated because his wife was positive for COVID. So if you do 2 + 2, most of the times it's 4. So we knew that he probably had COVID. But well,
yeah, they should have never brought him.
Correct. They said that they tried to give him a plane, like a sanitarian plane. I hope that's how you say it.
Sanitary plane. The direct translate, I don't know if that's what they call it in English, Faku. I don't even know if that exists here. But it's basically a plane designated for a COVID-positive patient to just bring them back to their home country. That's it.
So Boca came out with a statement saying, we gave him, or we tried to give him a plane, but Argentina, the government of Argentina, said no one with COVID can enter the country.
Yeah.
So they say
it was
well,
fine with the Ecuadorian authorities, but not with Argentina.
So they said, okay, Andrade is currently in the Hilton Hotel, so it's not a bad hotel, with Daniel Ponczosnik, which is Boca's doctor, an assistant, and some more, you know, people that stay with him. And once he can come back, he will come back. So technically, they're taking care of the situation, and hopefully, those get resolved fast, and we can, you know, move on.
Yeah, from, you know, some news breaking out earlier today, Andrada's wife is not happy with the club. She thinks the club didn't really help out in the situation. I think this is beyond the club's hands. This is something with sanitary protocols from Ecuador and Argentina, more so Argentina, because they're not the ones letting Andrada in. The Ecuadorian authorities are letting him leave in the sanitary plane, if that's what we want to call it. So she's visibly upset with the club. I think she should be more upset with herself and not hosting a birthday party with so many people. And maybe she wouldn't get sick and then he would have never gotten sick.
You know, now I'm thinking about this. You know why this happened? What did we say in the last podcast? How Boca was playing on Sunday and then trying on Tuesday and we don't have enough days in between?
Yeah.
That's because this happened. We didn't have enough time to actually test people and to actually get the results. If Boca would have played on Friday or Saturday, this will can be avoided. This is a problem from the Conmebol not being able to schedule the games well. And it's a problem with AFA, like not letting the teams play on Saturday because of the May 1st holiday in Argentina. Mm-hmm. This is why this happened. Besides, you know, the players not being responsible because like right now, they're posting things on Instagram, going to parties and all that while all of us are in lockdown. But whatever, that's a different story.
Yeah. I think, you know, in situations like these, the players, you, Faku, can try and get them to understand, because I certainly will. But they have to understand that, you know, they're not privileged. They really aren't. You know, they're not safe from this. I don't know if we touched on it on the podcast, but Cardona was diagnosed with myocarditis, which is it's an inflammation of the heart muscle. So he's not allowed to do any high-intensity training for the next 14 days, and they're going to go ahead and reevaluate him. So these are consequences from COVID. Players aren't safe. They're not exempt. You know, they have to be careful as well.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you, but not a good situation.
Not at all. Not at all. Anything else, Faku, that you want to add? Otherwise, we'll go ahead and close this one out.
Nope. It's all you.
So let's just look at the schedule really, really quick. I had it right over here. So we play Patronato this Saturday at 5 p.m. here in New York, in Argentina, 6 p.m. So 1800 hours local time. And then we have the last three group stage matches of the first half of the year. We have Santos away on Tuesday, 6:15 p.m. local time. Then the following week on Thursday, Boca play at 8 p.m. local time. And then the following week after that, Boca close out the group at home with the strongest, again, 8 p.m. local time. Pretty sure those times.
Those can change based on
how the groups are going. The app that I'm using, I'm not sure if the dates were confirmed or it's just a generic.
The dates are confirmed. The time, I think, could be changed.
Okay. I'm not sure. I think they might have confirmed the time. I'm really not sure. So it's definitely Tuesday, May 11th, Thursday, May 20th, and Wednesday, May 26th. So four games remaining. And then we have the Copa America. We're obviously going to be taking a couple weeks off of the podcast. And then after that, you know, we have the transfer window. So Boca can sign any players ahead of the rest of the season, right? Yeah. Anyways, I think that's it. Faku, thank you so much for joining me. To our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, and until next time.